about the elementary school you went to? What was the name of the school?
I went, interestingly enough, to a Horseman elementary school, which is just down the street from our house, where, interestingly enough, there is now a senior citizens high-rise that I'm the chairman of the local housing authority, and our housing authority tore down that same school that I went to, that I always went to. But I remember schools were terribly important to mom and pop. They wanted to know what was going on in school, they wanted to talk to the teachers and find out if I'm doing my homework adequately and properly. And this was, they were very concerned parents. They had what is lacking to a great deal in our society today, and we've got to get back to it.
The involvement?
The involvement, yeah. The involvement with the teachers, of course. The teachers were like members of the family, you know. You're talking about my pride and joy when you're talking to the teacher, you know. They knew them, and where the kids would bring an apple for the teacher once in a while. Mom was just apt to bake a cake to send home to the teacher. Her kids should get good training and a good grade card. I wouldn't call it bribery, but it might have come close to that.
What was your favorite subject in school when you were young?
My favorite subject? I can't remember that I had any one favorite subject when in high school, junior high school, when we had civics classes and things like that. I liked that the best. I always used to get top grades in civics, and I also enjoyed chemistry and reading, writing, and arithmetic. I guess one was not much bigger, stronger than the other.
What did you like doing most as a child? What games do you remember playing?
Well, I always had an interest in gardening, I guess, and to this day, that's my main hobby. I never could get over remarkable things about nature, where I reproduce plants and different things like that. But I don't remember that there was anything special. I was fascinated with getting my first bicycle put together, and used to like to do all the things that the kids do, but nothing particularly outstanding that comes to my mind as being over and above the others.
Did you have a very best friend?
I don't think so. Probably did, but not that we're so very best that I can remember him that well.
And you had non-Jewish as well as Jewish friends?
Yes.
What would you and your friends do together on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon?
Well, we'd play catch and go to the park and I don't really remember very much. Just everything that the little kids did, I guess. We used to like to go to do some exploring and go out in the country and take the dogs and go visit other people, but I don't recall that I had any specific likes. I was always interested in mechanical stuff and liked to take things apart and put them together. Didn't always get them put together after I got them apart, but that was always sort of a fascinating field for me. I think that's why I wanted to get into the aeronautical engineering field if I could, but I was never really that great at mathematics that you'd have to be to get into that design work, although I like that sort of thing, the design work. But nothing in there that I can recall that is of any particular interest.
Did you play a musical instrument?
Yes, I did. I was very anxious to have a cornet. And we had a pretty good band director then, Mr. C.R. Tuttle, I remember his name, And I finally got this cornet. We got a secondhand one, and Mom and Pop helped me to get it, and I had saved a few bucks, and I got started in the band, and every time Mr. Tuttle went out of the room, I'd blow some note with my cornet that made everybody laugh, and I was a cut-up in class, until finally I was thrown out of the band, and I didn't tell Mom or Pop about it for 2 or 3 weeks because I was just scared to death to tell them because of all the commotion I created to help get the cornet. Finally, they found out about it, and they wanted to know why I didn't tell them, and I was in a little hot water there, but that was my experience with musical instruments. I got thrown out because I was too much of a cut-up.
Did your mother or father play the piano or sing?
No.
So you were the only musician in the family?
Yeah, it's so cold.
Let's talk more about the role of religion in your home. When you were a child, where did you attend shul?
Well, there weren't enough Jewish people in Marion to have a shul. And we would rent a hall for the special high holidays. And there was a couple of halls downtown, one above the one of the old banks, and one above an old department store there. One was in the Oddfellows Hall. I always got a big kick out of that. The Oddfellows Hall was, I never could understand what made him odd. But that was the name of it, the IOOF, Independent Order of Oddfellows. And to this day, I don't know how that name ever got started that way. And I couldn't understand what made him odd. But we rented a hall and had a shul, and I remember most frequently how the World Series used to be take place during the holidays. And I don't know how that happened very often, but even on Yom Kippur, I can remember that as kids, we were too young to fast and not too interested in it. Pop never and Mom never made a big issue of religion. We just took for granted that this, that, and the other, and Pop would go to shul and daven. If the kids were there, that was fine, and if they weren't there, why, there was no strict... Mom would be more strict with making sure that we were in shul when we're supposed to be than Pop, because he recognized that there was a problem not being able to, not knowing what you're reading in the book and not being able to have the opportunity to go to the cheder to learn more Hebrew. But it was there, and it was a matter of our daily life, but it was never under any kind of a pressure, or if we even went to some of our friends' churches to some special occasions with them. I remember to some Jewish family it was just terrible sacrilegious to go into a different church, but my folks were both very liberal in that regard, and when you have non-Jewish friends, you have non-Jewish friends, and there was no mix-up between the religious fervor and the teachings.
When was the temple built in Marion?
The temple was built in about in the early 30s, when the congregation, when they established a Reformed congregation, and as I mentioned, Pop was in creating a temple there, and was a good supporter of it. And even though for many, many years after that, as long as there were enough of the old timers to have a minion, why, they still had the shul. And finally, it developed that they had the Orthodox shul in the basement of the temple. So there was a gradual transition there. I remember a group of us went to work to try to get a conservative movement going in Marion so that we could combine the Orthodox and the Reform, but it was a hopeless gesture. It just just fell on deaf ears on mostly both sides of the fence.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
Yes, I did. I had a bar mitzvah, and I had my training by the shechet that refused to give any credence to my desire to know what I'm saying when I'm reading the Hebrew. But I recall having a very it was a momentous occasion in our family when we had an affair like that. And I remember the speech I made to her. I talked to my parents in the Hebrew. I had that all memorized without knowing the word I was saying, and I resented it. And it was, I recall that it was strange that, it seemed strange to me that there were even some non-Jewish people at Bar Mitzvah. That was in the early days when that was not the the custom, you know, of the day. But it was a big momentous occasion in our family for any of the activities like that. What else?
What about that speech? Can you remember what you said?
Oh, I made, I said some real nice things about Mom and Pop, and I remember that Mom was sobbing and crying, happy tears. And I'm not just exactly sure what I said, but I guess I said the nice things about my parents, and they were very proud. And of course, that was the idea. That's, you know, that's a bar mitzvah speech. But Mom really cut loose. Her youngest son was a bar mitzvah and made this wonderful speech, and everybody was congratulating her, and she was living it up and enjoying it. It was a very happy occasion, and the glow of it went on for weeks after that, it seemed like.
What was it like for you to be a Jew in Marion?
Well, that's a good question, and I had never really experienced any what you'd call anti-Semitism, although there were occasional instances where the bully of the block, not because he was anti-Semitic, but because he was the bully, would pick on that on the Jewish kid by firing up the tempers by calling him the goddamn Jew, Jew boy, and that sort of stuff. But it was the exception, not the rule. And if a teacher in our school, now I remember one instance where she overheard someone say something like that, and she really raked him over the coals and took him up to the principal, because she was not going to countenance that sort of thing in school. That's the way teachers were in those days. They knew about your family and your life. They respected one another, and it was it spoke well for our whole community. We were not, there were those rare occasions, but as long as there are rare occasions, why, and then there was always also that group that you just weren't quite sure of, that you never got as close to, but people were always asking Mom her Jewish recipes, and she was tickled to death to make it, and if someone was real complimentary about her bread, well, she'd make an extra challah and take it over there on Friday night, and, or if she baked strudel, why, she made wonderful strudel. She had to take some to all of her friends and gave some to the lady to come in to help with the house cleaning and this sort of thing. And so there was a very warm feeling. And to this day, I hear people from the old grocery store that was nearby talk about the days when Mom used to come in and make sure the fish was fresh, and they had to have three different kinds of fish to chop for the gefilte fish. She always made her own gefilte fish. It never would grind it. It had to be chopped. And it was wonderful gefilte fish. And we always, it was, everybody looked forward in our household to having people in, and not necessarily always Jewish friends, sometimes non-Jewish friends. And it was nice. It was a nice atmosphere.
Tell about the Seders in your home.
The Seders always lasted too long. And we would get very, very impatient. Even Mom said to Pop on two or three occasions, "Shing can do it, enough already." But we did have, I guess it was customary. Seders do take long if you take the whole service, and Pop read the whole service. But he recognized, too, that we had justification for our for our impatience, because we didn't understand a lot of the way he was reading. He was reading in Hebrew, and if we'd have known what he was saying, or if he'd read half of it in English, it would have made a difference. But they were always very special occasions, and we had every one of the symbols, and I don't ever recall our asking any non-Jewish friends to a Seder, but a lot of people wanted to know about it and ask about it, and we would always explain things to them. In recent years, we started to have Seders in the temple and have guests come in, and that's a lot of fun, too. But it was nothing exciting beyond that to talk about the Seders. But we always had them, and they were always long.
Did you build a sukkah for Sukkot?
I participated in it, yes. I think my brother Meyer made the frame, and I was bringing in some corn and stuff like that. Yes, we've done that.
What were your favorite holidays?
Hanukkah, because we got presents, and of course, in my days, I look forward to holidays because I got out of school. Today, a different geschichte. But I think rightly or wrongly, mostly wrongly, the Hanukkah competition with the Christmas season and the several nights of presents as opposed to a single night was always an interesting discussion. There was a little bit of confusion about Christmas trees and why we couldn't have them and things like that, but it was all talked about very openly and very frankly. And once in a while, when a Jewish family came into town that had Christmas trees, why all the old timers just could not understand that, and that was a terrible era of heavy discussions. A Christmas tree in a Jewish home? How could that be? Everybody didn't have exactly the same theories about kids and Christmas and Hanukkah, but they were happy days, and we always sort of felt that we got the best of both ends. You know, we got to get off for Jewish holidays, we got to get off for non-Jewish holidays, and participate in all these things. So it was never a problem. It was more a special treat.
How has your attitude towards your religion changed over the years?
Well, I have become more and more antagonistic toward the extreme Orthodox who absolutely resist change, because in that regard, I'm sure glad that Pop permitted and even encouraged the development of a Reform synagogue, because I think times change. And I think people's thinking has to change. And over the years, I've just never been able to figure out how they can cure that situation with the little extremist party holding the control it does, because the two major parties in Israel are so evenly balanced, and there's going to have to be a way that's going to have to be changed, and that's the way I look at it. It's just tragic that the extremist Orthodox in Israel is keeping the Reform movement from getting any foothold and keeping a whole lot of other things from developing for the betterment. You know, I resent it when I hear of a rabbi that refuses to marry a couple of kids, one Jewish and one not Jewish, especially when they agree to raise their children as Jews. If a couple has a mixed marriage and they decide to raise their children as Jewish, I think a Reform rabbi should marry him. But that's just my philosophy and my feelings, and I guess there will always be those interesting differences and debates. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite subjects in high school was the debating team. We had to win the pro and the con of the subject. The main subject that I remember in high school was whether or not we should recognize the Kerensky government, and we had to win one side of the subject and win the other side before we got the cup, and we got the cup, and that's that was a big exciting involvement. I always liked the debating team.
What is the Jewish community like now in Marion?
Well, it's shrunken, and most of the Jewish businesses, most of the businesses around the public square in a small town of 35,000, 40,000 were Jewish. Now there's practically none left because there was not enough activity there, for the people of Marion, but especially so for the Jewish people of Marion, because with rare exceptions, and our family is one of them, all the offsprings have left Marion. Up until just recently, why, two of my three kids were in Marion, and now one of them has moved to Annapolis. So, the Jewish community at one time had 50, 60 kids in the Reformed Sunday School class, and now they have 12, 15.
Is it hard for you to see the young people moving away?
Yes, it is, but it's understandable also. The opportunities are far greater, and times have changed, you know, and they continue to change. And I wish I could convince some of the extremists that I get in arguments with sometimes that we have to be a little flexible and recognize that change has to take place.
When you were young, did your family ever take vacations out of town?
Very rarely. I can't remember when the whole family took vacations out of town, but the picnics in the park and the gatherings with all the friends, that stands out. But, and I remember after Uncle Harry and family moved to New York, they would always send us a big fat goose around Yontif time, and I never could figure out how that goose got here without being spoiled, but I guess that was the days of Railway Express and got here overnight. But it was an annual occasion to receive the big fat goose from New York. Why you should remember that, I don't know. But since Mom didn't like to travel, and Pop didn't go away by himself very much, I guess we just didn't go many places out of town. Go to Indianapolis sometime for some special occasion. But Indianapolis is 65 miles from Marion, but it used to be, you know, a full day's trip to go to Annapolis for something.
What is the happiest memory of your childhood, and when did it happen?
The happiest memory of my childhood. I guess the happiest memory of my childhood that I can lay my finger on was when Uncle Harry came in and we had the big circle dancing and singing the Machum is Fartik. The war is over. I didn't even know what the excitement was all about, but it was fun because everybody was happy. Everybody was delighted. When you say happiest memory of my childhood, how old are you when you're still a child? 10, 12, 15, 18, 20. I was always known as the baby of the household, and I've always taken a lot of razzing for that, but we had a pretty happy family life and pretty typical in many ways because we had our share of fights, like they would be in any home with four boys, but we also had our solutions and our jovial occasions to more than make up for the others.
And when you danced, because the war was over. You were only about 4 years old,
yeah,
weren't you?
1918.
Who do you think influenced you the most when you were young?
Who influenced me the most? Well, I don't know that it was, I guess mom's involvement was very heavy because we spent more time with mom. Pop was making a living, and as I mentioned before, I got to talk more with Pop than the older boys, but mom was totally dedicated to her family. Everything, the whole world went around on her family, and the many, many big meals when company would come over and the kids would have their guests over. Mom was just delighted when the boys would bring guests home, not necessarily lady friends, but boys, you know, young kids. And mom was anxious to show the Gentiles what nice people the Jews were, and she was right, but she was also right in making it a point to make them aware. And so there were a lot of happy times. I can't lay one out in front of the other particularly.
Where did you go to high school?
In Marion, Indiana.
What was the name of the school?
It was the Marion Senior High School. And you want to know something else strange? This same housing authority that I chair also tore down the high school and built a senior citizens center there. We have a senior citizens apartment there and where my grade school was.
Do you remember any teachers who were special to you in high school?
Yes, I remember an Alvin G. Allen who taught civics. And he was just as common as an old shoe. And you could talk with him on any subject. And I always got the best grades there was to be gotten on everything involved in the civics class. But it was general discussions of current events and general discussions of historical events. And I can imagine a class like that, the civics class like that, after what's happened in this world in the last couple of 3 years, I can imagine what an exciting era that reigned in. But I remember more graphically teachers in the grade and mid-year schools. I remember Mrs. Hammaker, who was the first first grade or second grade, and Mrs. Anthony, who was my arithmetic teacher. I don't even refer to it as arithmetic anymore, I guess. But they were almost like a member of the family. They knew your family. Those teachers knew the families of their students like Pop knew the families of his customers. And we used to have some wonderful teachers, but today I'm sorry to say that they don't have that same communication with the parents like they should have, like they did have. They don't have quite the same esprit de corps. I remember Mrs. Anthony arranged to teach us mathematics and the business. We had a bank day, and we were encouraged. I sold magazines, Saturday Evening Post and Liberty Magazine, and I'd make sometimes 90 cents or a dollar and a half a week. And every Tuesday we had bank day, and we would deposit money. And we learned about how a dollar became a dollar and 2 cents at the end of the year because we got 2% interest, you know. And it was very good training. And then all of a sudden, the banks in town started to fight over which one was going to have the deposit.